Coming up on KUCB News, coronavirus cases continue to soar, and a new video game seeks to accurately represent indigenous communities and life in rural Alaska. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Monday, November 16th, 2020. Alaska recorded two more days of startling COVID-19 numbers as case counts and hospitalizations again hit record highs over the weekend. On Saturday, Alaska set a single-day record of new COVID-19 cases, with 742 infections reported. Sunday's count of 654 was the second highest single-day count on record. Those numbers represent up to a 50% underestimate of the true count, since state health officials say they don't have enough personnel to process all of the data. At the same time, the number of Alaskans hospitalized with COVID-19 jumped up significantly. The state now has more than 140 people hospitalized with or suspected of having COVID-19. The records come days after Governor Mike Dunleavy issued a video message on the state's emergency alert system with his most sobering message yet on the pandemic. The video included a plea to residents to redouble COVID precautions and asked businesses to have employees work from home if possible. And Governor Dunleavy issued a series of health orders related to the COVID-19 pandemic yesterday. When the state's emergency declaration ended at midnight, so did the health mandates the governor started issuing in March. A new 30-day disaster declaration went into effect at 12:01 a.m. today, and with it comes eight new COVID-19 outbreak health orders. Some of the orders are similar to the previous mandates. The orders cover everything from testing requirements for travelers to newly allowing for online raffles and lotteries. Another new order requires that travelers within Alaska who travel off of the road system maintain social distancing until they have a negative test result for the coronavirus. While the other orders are effective today, that one goes into effect on Saturday. But local communities are allowed to impose their own travel restrictions. One of the orders continues to allow that. And in Unalaska, the city council voted unanimously to extend the city's declaration of a local emergency during its meeting last week. The declaration extends through June of next year.
I think with the start of a season, with flu season underway, with hospital beds use on the rise, with our cases on the rise, I think there's plenty of rational reasons why we would want to go to that June 1st or that June 30th deadline. Just to make sure to keep it really on everybody's radar that this is a long haul and we need to all remain diligent in our efforts.
That's City Manager Erin Reinders at Tuesday's meeting. She said she hopes by then a COVID-19 vaccine will be readily available and that the pandemic will be more under control. Clinic Director Melanie Tierra echoed Reinders' advocacy for the June timeline.
This is anyone's best prediction as to how long this is going to be at its peak for us, but definitely to get us past A season and get some normalcy after that point, I think is a priority for us. I think June is a very reasonable estimate.
The city's previous declaration of emergency from March was tied to the state's declaration, which expired yesterday. The city council's new resolution separates the local declaration from the state's, which only extends for the next 30 days. Reinders said the local declaration can be revisited moving forward. It's no secret that many television shows, movies, and video games have a history of inaccurately representing indigenous communities if they portray them at all. Realistic depictions of life in rural Alaska are also rare. But a new video game set in southeast Alaska seeks to turn back the tide on that history. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry has the story.
It's a familiar scene for southeast Alaskans. Two people stand on a small ferry as it cruises down a protected channel between walls of snow-capped peaks and evergreen forests. Suddenly, they hear a noise coming from the water and rush to the edge of the deck.
Did you hear that?
A whale breaches.
Whoa! There's no place like home.
Yeah.
What's extraordinary about this scene is not so much the whale or the increasingly rare sighting of a state-operated ferry, but the fact that it's a scene from an Xbox video game called Tell Me Why, which showcases life in a rural Alaskan community with remarkable accuracy. The characters are heading from the fictional town of Fireweed to the also-fantastical Delos Crossing. But that place is loosely based on the real town of Huna, a small, predominantly Tlingit community on Chichagof Island. There's even a poster on the ferry advertising a Tlingit dance performance sponsored by the Huna Heritage Foundation.
I think there's, you know, a movement in a lot of entertainment industries to be more culturally accurate in the representation of their characters. And rather than just have a Native American character, you know, which could be so many things.
That's Amelia Wilson, the executive director of the Huna Heritage Foundation. She worked with publishers from Xbox and game designers from the French company Don't Nod to make sure the world they built was based in reality. This isn't the first video game to include Indigenous voices. In 2014, the game Never Alone was the first on the market to tell an Indigenous story from a Native perspective. Xbox also worked with Oregon's Nez Perce tribe on a remake of the game Killer Instinct, which is how Wilson got connected with game designers. But this kind of conscious inclusion is still a rarity, she says.
It is unique and it is rare. And we are a small, remote community. And so it was a really exciting process to be part of something and to see our culture and community represented and reflected in a mainstream media.
Wilson's work included everything from helping them pronounce Tlingit words to advising game designers to drop a raccoon getting into the garbage scene, to finding ways to incorporate Tlingit values, like gift-giving, which shows up in this scene.
It's a gift, Tyler. You know what gift-giving means in Tlingit culture, and what it means to refuse one.
Tell Me Why follows twins Allison and Tyler through an intimate journey that explores trans identity, violence, and poverty. It doesn't go as far as giving Native characters starring roles. The twins are white. But two of the main characters are Tlingit, and were played by Indigenous actors.
Because we have very complex characters and, you know, we tell complex stories, we think it is important to have them as authentic as possible.
Florent Guillaume is the game director for Tell Me Why. He says his team wanted to contrast that intimacy with the vast landscapes of Alaska. They were also drawn to the rich cultural history and tight-knit communities in Southeast.
And we decided to take a trip to the place because we didn't want to, you know, to represent some kind of fantasy that we had as French people.
During their trip to Huna, game designers collected sounds and took pictures, ate traditional foods, and met community members. And they connected with local Tlingit artists to work on the game, like Gordon Greenwald.
You know, initially there were two things. I told them I know nothing about video games. Probably the last video game I ever played was Pong, you know, back in the 70s, 60s or whenever.
And the second thing was that he couldn't design pieces that had cultural significance to a specific clan. They didn't have a problem with either stipulation, he says.
I took it on as a challenge to see if I could do something culturally sensitive, appropriate, but not infringing upon clan or any of the oral history that I felt was proprietary information or knowledge.
Greenwald and Norwegian Tlingit artist Jeff Skaffelstad submitted drawings of art like totem poles, clan houses, and masks to the game's graphic designers, who then converted them to digital format. The process wasn't perfect, Skaffelstad says. Some of the traditional greens and blues ended up altered in the final product, for example, and when the team visited Huna, they didn't always follow proper etiquette. But he was surprised when they were willing to listen.
You know, worldwide corporations are not very famous for being sensitive to the cultures that they may use in their games or, you know, miscommunicate stereotypes or whatever, and yet here they were, and they're saying, hey, help us. We recognize we don't know anything, and we're open to it.
What ultimately convinced him to participate was the opportunity to challenge stereotypes and bring awareness to his community and his people.
If somehow this improves the world that we live in locally here, and it can make things better for those that are not here yet, that is so classically Tlingit that it was almost, we can't turn this down.
He says it was a chance to tell the world that despite centuries of attempts to erase their culture and language, they're still here. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
The Unalaska City School District will hold a FAFSA information event this evening at 6:15 in the school's small gym. The event is a chance for graduating seniors, their families, and community members to get help completing their FAFSA, or Free Application for Federal Student Aid, which is required for most colleges and vocational schools and all state and federal aid. To find more information about the event, go to our community calendar at kucb.org or call school counselor Terry Morris at 581-1222. That's 581-1222. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.